Bob's gotten really good at walking slowly up during this song because he loves it. It is. It's a really, really good song. Okay, so we have been in a series on prayer, and something I just wanted to point out is you might see, gosh, I feel like I'm really loud. Am I really loud right now? Okay, all right. I just feel loud. Okay, all right. One thing you might notice is that there is a lot of overlap. As we go from one type of prayer to another, there's a lot of overlap, and there should be, because there's a lot of God to go around, and we are talking to that same wonderful Savior every time we are lifting up our prayers. So these types of things hopefully help cement in your mind what it is to pray, you know, that conversation that we're having with the Lord. And so, in honor of this series of prayer, we're going to start with a little prayer before we get going. So God, thank you so much for this wonderful church, this wonderful time to talk about our conversations with you, how you love us, how you care for us. Lord, we just lift up this day, our hearts. We ask that you highlight those things that are meant for us, highlight those things that we are meant to share, and just reveal to us over and over again those things in our lives that might be hindering us from our relationship with you. We lift it all up in your name. Amen. All right, so before we get started, I'm going to ask Jeremy if he is able to bring up that picture of Bob. There we go. This is where Bob is at. Bob and CMA, Christian Motorcyclists Association, they are doing a motorcycle ride. There's 15 of them, and they left on Thursday morning, and they've been riding and camping. And this is, I think, Hagerman Peak that they are at this morning, and so he should be getting home this evening. So I will invite you to pray for safety as we continue, as he continues on his way home. But Bob, when maybe you're watching this, I don't know, but if you are, we love you, and we are praying for your safety and glad that you got a chance to do something fun. All right, so we're going to go ahead. We'll get going here. How I structured, as I was deciding on how this would go this week and how talking to you guys about prayers for guidance, how I would structure that is building a little bit of a framework. And I don't want anybody who is like a note taker or a list maker to go over the top with this and be like, oh, I'm going to make a laminated checklist from Gabe's teaching on how I'm going to pray, right? It's not like that. You guys, you know how to pray. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to help ourselves understand what it is we are really praying for and how to hear the response from the Lord. So I think the best way to start is that we need to acknowledge, each and every one of us, God's sovereignty and his faithfulness. God's will is going to be done regardless of what you are praying for, right? That's why when we talk about prayer, we're always talking about aligning ourselves with God's will. Much of praying is for us to understand what we are really praying for and how it does or does not align with God's will. His will ultimately will be done. We can make it easy or hard for ourselves in that, but ultimately his will be done, and he is always faithful to do things for our good. And if he was not sovereign, if that wasn't how it worked, why would you even bother praying to him at all? Why would you take the time to pray to God if he was not sovereign, if he was not faithful, if he was not trustworthy? Why would we do it? We do it because we know he's all those things. But sometimes we have to remind ourselves that he is those things despite our own failings, right? His character is his character, and we don't change that. So we do that first thing. We acknowledge he is sovereign, he is faithful. And then we surrender ourselves and admit that we need guidance from someone who knows the whole picture. That means surrendering our need for control. I am an absolute control freak, so trust me when I'm telling you, I know what that's like. Kayla did me a wonderful favor, and she did day of coordinating for me this yesterday so I could finish my message. There were two weddings, two elopements. You do not know what it is for me not to hover, right? For me to just, you know, want to be in control of every single thing. She did a magnificent job. She had helpers. She had Gina help her. She had her friend Rachel help. It went wonderfully. So sometimes you just have to surrender that need to be in control of everything. You don't know the whole picture. Most of the time when we're praying, we don't know the whole picture. That's why we're asking for guidance. That's why we are praying for guidance. And we should always be praying for guidance. Really, little things or small things. It's all worthy of being lifted up to the Lord in prayer. Now, sometimes when you're praying for guidance, because you don't know the whole picture, it's for yourself, right? It's something that you are unsure of, you don't know of, or maybe you're praying for a loved one. Maybe somebody has come to you and they've asked you to help them pray for guidance. Well, I'm going to tell you something you probably already know. You don't know the whole picture. And a lot of times when people come to you and they're asking you for prayer, they're not telling you the whole picture, right? Think about it for a second. We are human and we tend to frame things in a way that is what we want, right? So this is where when we surrender that need to know everything, that surrender that need to be right, you know, because you can't be right really when you don't know the whole picture. When we surrender that and we go to the Lord asking for guidance, this is what we need to accept. And it also helps us when we do that, not to be looking at the Lord's answer, because that's what we want, right? We want the Lord to speak to us and to guide us. But if we are looking through a filter because we think we already know, then we might miss it. We might misinterpret it. We might misunderstand it. We might ignore it. We might reason ourselves out of it. You've got to be able to kind of let that go. And that's a difficult thing, at least for some of us. For me, 100%. I like things being orderly. I like to know how it's going to work. It is a challenge for me, for sure. Another thing I was thinking about when we're praying to the Lord for guidance, we have to understand is what we're praying for something that's a long-term, or is it something immediate and urgent that we need guidance on? So when I say long-term, think about, I've got just like a little graphic here about a college or career. So when we pray for guidance, we might be praying for something long-term like, hey, Lord, help me pick out these classes. Help me pick out what I'm gonna major in. This is long-term. So that's not just something like, Lord, let my job search go well, whatever. It's like, Lord, guide me in what my job search should look like. Guide me in what classes I should be taking. That is not cheap or short. That is something for the long haul, right? That is something that takes time and effort. And it isn't just kind of I'm just going to throw this prayer out here and I'm not going to make any time to listen for an answer. That's something that is a very big deal. Maybe we're praying for something like relationships. So I've got my little graphic here, all right? Could be your relationship. Could be the relationship for somebody that is a loved one. This is often a really difficult thing because when we have that filter, like, you know, you spend time with somebody and you see what you see and you don't see anything else. You only see what that person allows you to see. You only hear what that person will say to you. You don't see the whole thing. So when we're praying for those relationships, you know, we kind of have had to let go again, of knowing everything and then understanding that very few relationships are fixed in the blink of an eye. Often that is a long-term commitment. It's guidance every single day. It is, Lord, guide me in this relationship. What is it I need to do next? And then the next day you're praying, now what do I need to do next again? What is that first next move that I need to make or I need to pray for? And a lot of times, as we all know, when we talk about God's timing, so many things are not immediate. So if you have in your head, when you are praying for guidance, that what you are praying for is something in the long term, something that is the long haul, that you are looking to have your entire life, somebody's entire life, your health, whatever it is. It helps you to be able to listen to what the Lord is saying and listen to it with a heart to obey it, with a heart to go for it, to see what he has to offer you, because he has a lot to offer us. But if you are hoping that everything is going to be instantaneous, you might kind of lose your steam early on. Sometimes we are praying for something that is immediate, something where we are in danger or we have to make an immediate decision about something. A little graphic here. I want everybody to think about a time in your life where you have gotten yourself in a pickle. Like not a somebody's going to be mad at me pickle, but you have gotten yourself into something where you're like, this is bad. You've taken a wrong turn and you've ended up somewhere that you do not belong. You think you've taken a shortcut. You're hiking and you go off trail. I have done this. And you are like, what was I thinking? But now you've already done it, right? I didn't ask the Lord before when I decided to go off trail. I didn't ask the Lord, you know, is this wisdom? I'm in a city I don't know. I'm going to go walking at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, and I find myself in an alleyway somewhere, right? That kind of prayers for guidance. Those are also prayers for protection. Do you see what I'm saying in the overlap of prayers? You're like, you're praying for that protection. You are praying for that kind of clarity, but you are asking in the immediate, Lord, guide me. What do I do now? What do I do? How do I stay safe? How does my family stay safe? We talk about prayers in the immediate for guidance on, I was watching something the other day about some hikers that hiked in a narrows area, even though they knew weather conditions were not good. All right, and in narrows, flooding happens fast. This is where I wish somebody would have prayed for some guidance in that. Right? You know, conventional wisdom is great and all, but guidance from the Lord is best. And sometimes taking that time to ask and actually listen for an answer makes a difference. So we are, what did we decide? God's sovereign and he's faithful. We're surrendering ourselves for the need for us to being right. And we're deciding whether or not what we are praying for is something in the long term or something that we need immediate, that we're looking for an immediate answer. And if you're looking for an immediate answer, you better shut all the other distractions out and listen for that immediate answer. Maybe you're praying for how to proceed in a medical situation. We talk about this a lot. We pray about this a lot when we do prayer before church. We pray over medical situations all the time. And I have a little graphic for this. How many people wish that their doctors would pray for guidance when it came to their medical treatment? I would love thinking about that. I would love thinking that I, who have type 1 diabetes, and every year there's something else I have as well. So I would love to think of my doctor being able to spend more than the 15 minutes I'm allotted on a doctor's visit praying for guidance about what might be best for me. And that's what we should do too. We're not only praying for healing, because who doesn't want healing? Who doesn't want immediate, miraculous healing in that moment that you could just yell from the rooftops? But we know that the Lord doesn't always do it that way. So we are praying for guidance. Guidance. If that is not your will, Lord, to do something here and now, guide me. Give me guidance and wisdom. Do I do this surgery? Do I delay it? Is there other treatments? Guide me. But again, when we're looking for guidance, that means we have to listen for an answer so that we can follow that guidance. Does that make sense? So think about, take just a moment right now to think about something that you've been praying for guidance about. And I want you to think about those things that we've talked about. So you're acknowledging that he is sovereign and he's faithful and he wants what's best for you. You are acknowledging that you don't know the answer, the big picture, otherwise you wouldn't be praying and asking for guidance. And now think to yourself, is what you are praying for, is it something that is short-term, immediate, or is it something long-term? Is it something that it's not just a one and done? This is something that the Lord is going to guide you through over time. And sometimes he doesn't tell you everything all at once because you might chicken out if he does, right? I think I have seen that more than once where I was like, man, if I had known, he is so sneaky sometimes, but it's for our good, right? It's for our good. So you have to have that right mindset to be committed, that you're all in for the long term. So when we're doing these prayers, there's a lot of different ways we can pray. And we're going to talk about a couple of them. You can use your own words. I think you guys, I see you talking. I know you know how to use words. You can pray. And some words that we use a lot when we are praying for guidance, among other things, is wisdom, clarity, and discernment. Those are all solid, solid things for us to pray for when we are praying for guidance. But there's a little bit of a difference between how the world looks at those things and the biblical aspect of those things. And the biblical aspect should be part of what we look at when we're looking at biblical wisdom, discernment, and clarity. So wisdom, according to Webster's Dictionary, refers to the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, good sense, and having good judgment. Now, I don't think that's a surprise. Probably everybody's like, okay, yeah, I'm on board. That's a good definition. But how does biblical wisdom differ? So when you're asking the Lord to give you wisdom on something, how does that differ? So biblical wisdom is the ability to discern and apply God's will. I'm sure nobody's shocked that I said that, right? God's will in all aspects of life, leading to sound judgment and righteous living. It involves understanding the true nature of situations, true nature, not just what you see with your filter that you've put on, and is often characterized by humility and a fear of the Lord. All right, so when we're seeking wisdom, if we have already decided what wisdom is, that's the filter I'm talking about. Because sometimes we look at something that we have seen over and over again, and we just apply it to us, like we're all cookie cutter people, which we are not. So we need to make sure that when we are asking the Lord for wisdom, that we are asking for that true understanding of it, and that we're willing to listen to that, that we want that true understanding of the nature of the situation, and we want it to be aligned with God's purposes, not just what we would like to have happen, what would be easy, what would be convenient for us, that we're really, really looking to listen, that it aligns with his purposes. And again, that characterized by humility and a fear of the Lord, feeling like you don't have to listen because you already know, that's a lack of humility. That's pride. And if you read the Bible at all, I would say like 99% of the problems with people in the Bible all could be brought back to pride, right? They could all be back to pride issues. And it's hard because we move so fast. We just want to have an answer and move on. And so sometimes that keeps us from searching out a true answer, a true piece of guidance, because really we just want it to just keep flowing. We want it to keep moving. I feel that way. If there's something that happens sometimes, have you ever heard the term ready, shoot, aim? Have you ever heard anybody say that instead of ready, aim, shoot? I just want to keep moving. I just want to keep moving. And sometimes that keeps us, if you are at all like me, from really sitting down and listening to the answer that the Lord is giving you and allowing him to guide you in a way that you cannot guide yourself. So clarity is another thing. We use this word a lot. I want clarity about this situation. Clarity out of Webster's defines it as the quality of being easily understood, right? It's clear, right? You have clarity on something. But as with wisdom, biblical clarity has another important aspect that we want to consider when we're praying. So biblical clarity might be the core message of the Bible is understandable to those who read it with, and here's the part of the sentence I love, a sincere desire to know God's truth. So think about it. What's the difference between having a sincere desire to know God's truth and just running on autopilot? Right? You're like, I've done it this way. I've always done it this way. I know other people who've done it this way. This time I'm going to do it, right? As somebody who has been dieting since I was like 7 years old, I will tell you, not every diet is for every person. But when you're on autopilot, you just want it to be easy, right? So I am just going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to bother to really try to spend the time to listen to how the Lord would guide me in this way. You know, do I work out with Ryan? Or, oh, that's kind of hard. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, it's the difference between you're just putting yourself on autopilot and you're doing the same things, not necessarily with good results, rather than asking the Lord for clarity and having a sincere desire to know God's truth. And God's truth, I mean, sometimes when we talk about God's truth, we're thinking about Jesus, and Jesus is all of God's truth, right? But God's truth guides us individually as well. Not only does he want salvation for us, eternal life for us, he would love it if our lives here on the earth were not a nightmare, right? He would love that. How awesome would that be? And one of the ways for it not to be a nightmare for us is to be constantly having a sincere desire to know God's truth. Discernment, Webster's talks about discernment being the quality of being able to comprehend what is obscure or an act of perceiving or discerning something. It always cracks me up when they use the word in the definition, like if you didn't know what discerning something was. But okay, so to perceive, right? To perceive something. So that makes sense. You want to discern something, right? You know, you're getting a vibe about something. You're discerning something going on. Biblical discernment is the ability to distinguish between truth and error, right? Simple enough. Good and evil, not always as simple. Or God's will and worldly desires, often by examining things against the standard of God's word. So tell me, and you can just yell this out, I hope somebody will, what's the best way to be able to know how to examine something against the standard of God's word? There, I knew. Okay, that is a huge, guys, huge. How can you do that if you're not in your Bible? How can you examine things against God's word if you're not in your Bible? And I love that you're here on Sunday, but Sunday alone is not enough. There needs to be something beyond that. Now, that's not saying that you're not praying to the Lord every single day. I believe all of you have ongoing conversations with the Lord. I believe that. You know, the Lord is so welcoming. But we also know that the enemy is trying to insert himself and confuse us when possible. So how are we able to test what we hear, what guidance we get, what answers to prayer that we get? How do we test to know for sure that it's the Lord's voice? Now, Bob talked about this last week when we were talking about prayers for deliverance, right? You ask, is this you, Lord? Is this you, Lord? But if you have heard something, maybe somebody's given you advice and you think, maybe the Lord had that person come give me advice. That happens. The Lord puts people in your life to help you. But you can know by being able to test that against the standard of God's word by being in your Bible. And the more you're in it, the more you understand that, the more you recognize things. And I think I had somebody recently say to me, and I love this, this is one of my favorite things ever. So like women's study, we pretty much just go from one study to a next, to the next, to the next. And the first time that I was ever leading a study years and years and years ago, I was the most unprepared person, and I was embarrassed by the fact that I was unprepared. But the only way you can be prepared and become biblically literate is by studying your Bible. So I just jumped in. And so this person said to me that they had, I can't remember if it was like I think it was like a Bible trivia question or something like this. And she was like, oh, I know the answer to that. And she said, you know, the feeling was so amazing that I knew the answer to it. Or you're reading something in the Bible and they refer to something and you're like, oh, I understand what they're referring to. I know that story. I've studied that part of the book. That is an amazing piece of power that we have, because this right here is important. This is like an owner's manual, right? You know, I wish it had an index for every single thing, but in God's wisdom, he doesn't make it that easy. You have to spend some time. Your heart, your mind, you have to be in there. So that biblical discernment that we talked about, again, truth, error, good, evil, those are important things for us to know when we are asking for guidance. Is what we are hearing, does it align with God's word? You know, that's important for us to know. Is the help that we're getting from somebody, is it really biblical? Or is it somebody that they're our friend and they're telling you to do something that isn't good, right? To get revenge on somebody, right? I've got your back. Now let's go damage that person's car. You know what I mean? That's not good. That's not biblical guidance, right? I understand you love the fact that somebody loves you that much, but they should also love you enough not to end you up in jail, right? Not to get you put in jail because they've got your back. So that's something when we're looking for guidance, it's important to know where that guidance is coming from. So how, when we have all this information, we have the Bible, we know that God is sovereign, we know that he is faithful, we know how to ask for these things, that when we're asking for discernment and wisdom and clarity, you know, we know what we're asking for. We understand the biblical idea of what we're asking for, and we've decided whether or not this is something that is immediate and I need fast results. Just help me, Lord, guide me, Lord, or something that you really need to dig in and be like, Lord, I need this guidance and I need your help. So with all of that information in our Bible, how do worldly obstacles get us off track with that? So we talked about pride, right? Thinking we already know, so we're just kind of cursory, it's like a courtesy prayer. I already know what the answer should be, right? I already know what it should be. And you're just throwing it out there. That's prideful. That throws us off track. Concern about what others think. So somebody asks you to pray for them, and the Lord gives you some amazing godly wisdom to share and guidance because, you know, maybe they're having a block being able to talk to the Lord. Maybe they're not Christian and they don't talk to the Lord at all. But in this case, they were like, you know, I need to bring in the big guns, even though I don't believe. I would like you to pray for me. But do you feel comfortable being able to guide that person, to tell that person what the Lord has said, to be able to explain to them this piece of it? You can ask the Lord yourself for guidance. Do you feel comfortable doing that? Feel comfortable sharing your faith in that way? It's hard. It is a hard thing to do, and we shouldn't take it lightly. We shouldn't take it lightly. You know, you kind of have to practice that kind of stuff, not only for yourself, but for those around you. It's hard to do. Confidence, that's another one. Lack of confidence is huge. Where does lack of confidence come from? Tell me what it comes from. Why might you not have confidence? You're not in your Bible, maybe. Maybe that's why you don't have confidence. If you are afraid that somebody's going to ask you something and you don't know it, then how can you have the confidence when you're praying and you're asking for guidance? How do you have that confidence that you even understand what you have heard from the Lord, right? That confidence comes from study, from being in the Bible, from praying. That's so important. And that's important in every single aspect of prayer. Every type of prayer that we have talked about, the Bible needs to be part of that. The Bible needs to be part of that. And if somebody is coming to you and asking you to pray for them or help them pray for guidance from the Lord, you need to have the confidence that you can do that. And that doesn't mean you memorize the Bible. that means that you're in it and that you can be okay with saying, I don't know the whole picture. I don't know everything. Let's find this out together. Let's get in the Bible and find this out together. You are not God. You do not have to be God. And do not let somebody else try to put you in the position of being Jesus for them. All right? Gosh, I just got goosebumps on that. I don't know what that's about, but that is a huge thing. When somebody is saying, please, you, I want you to pray for guidance for me, you need to tell them, you pray for guidance for yourself. You ask Jesus. He is there for us. It is not magic. It is not magic. He is here for us. We need to seek that Holy Spirit's guidance. They need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill them. But how can they do that if they don't believe? And that's why there's the Great Commission to share our faith, is that how can somebody ask for guidance for themselves if they don't believe? So you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with wisdom, that biblical wisdom, to recognize God's voice amidst the noise and the distraction. And we talked about the concept of first voice last week, that, you know, when you're asking for guidance and you're saying, you know, Lord, give me guidance on whatever it is, and you hear that first answer, and then you're like, oh, that's kind of, it's going to be a little tricky to do it that way. I think this is a better idea, right? Then you're ignoring that first voice. You know, so much of the time, that first voice, that's the voice we need to be listening to. That's the Lord's voice. When we're praying, we need to ask for the strength and the courage to move forward with whatever the Lord is, however he's leading us. And that's where, like I said, like that first voice, you know, if it's something that's inconvenient and we don't really love it, then we talk ourselves out of it. That's like that reasoning part, right? We've talked about reasoning. We want to reason it into something that is more palatable for us. But when we're wanting true guidance, it's not always going to be palatable. Sometimes he's going to ask us to do something that's uncomfortable. Or, worse yet, maybe he tells you, you can't, like, change your scenery, right? Right? So sometimes you're praying, the Lord led me to XYZ, and really what it was is you wanted to abandon the uncomfortable situation that you were in. Sometimes he tells you you need to stay. Sometimes that's for you. Sometimes it's for somebody else. Sometimes it's for both of you because he's the big picture God. But you've got to listen and have a sincere desire to know the truth so that when you are asking for that guidance and you are listening to it, you can discern that what you are hearing is true, and that you can move forward in something from a God who is sovereign and faithful for your good. You know that that is what he wants for you. That is what he wants for you. And that takes strength, and that takes courage. And don't let yourself believe that you are not important to the Lord, or that he's mad at you if you are not always in that place of strength and courage, because you have to ask for it. We don't have that kind of strength and courage just normally. That is not something that is, nobody's looking to put themselves to the test over and over again. So you just have got to allow yourself to pray for guidance. Lord, I didn't do it the way I wanted to do it. How can I do it better? That's a good prayer for guidance, right? How can I do it better? And that's not a one and done. That's a long term where you need wisdom, you need clarity, you need discernment, you need strength, you need courage. And last, you need trust in God's timing and his plan. You have to remind yourself that God's ways are perfect. He works all things for our good. And trust in his time and believe that he will reveal his plan in his perfect time. And don't talk yourself out of the guidance he gives you. So let's think a minute, all of you, to a situation where the Lord guided you in a way that was unusual. And you're like, oh, I don't know about this, but I really feel, I'm hearing it, I'm feeling it. Heck, I'm going to obey, right? I know you guys know all how to pray, but do you know how to obey what he gives you, right? That's the hard part. So this time you go ahead, you do it. You're like, I don't know how that's going to work, but I really I feel like the Lord is telling me that, and you move forward in that. And you take that next step, and then the Lord is like, oh, good for you. You obeyed. You were obedient. You listened. Now I'm going to give you the next step. And you take that next step, and then eventually you get, it's like a progressive revelation is how we use a term to describe it, where he feeds you something because he needs that little piece of your willingness and your obedience. And then he continues to give you more and more. If he gave it to you all at once, it might be overwhelming. Sometimes it's just a matter of seeing, can you be obedient to what I am asking you to do? If you can be obedient in those small things, oh, maybe the Lord gives you something amazing and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger over time. But you have to be willing to understand that timing and that you're not always going to get the whole picture all at once. We just have to allow ourselves to let go of that need to know everything before we do anything. So pray specifically. Pray specifically that you can, so you can recognize when your prayers are answered. And I had a little image of a woman praying. I don't think we can tell if she's praying specifically, but I'm just going to tell you to pray specifically. Meaning that you can in that urgency, you know, Lord, save me, right? A prayer could be a word, two words, whatever it is. But if there is something specific that you want, that you are asking the Lord for, and that you want to see what his answer is, then you need to be specific. Part of that is a gift to you. So when that prayer is answered, you can see how specifically he answered it for you. So you can pray aloud, you can pray eternally, you can pray internally, you can pray in your journal. I love doing the journal because it gives you a chance to go back and see what was it exactly that you prayed for and how did he answer that? How specific was he in his answers to that? I have seen him be crazy specific. And there is nothing that is more, just like invigorating for your faith to pray for guidance for something in a specific way and to hear a specific answer, to receive a specific answer to prayer. So if all of this happens and you know all of these things, but you're like, I just don't have the words. I don't have the words for this. Pray scripture, right? Bible again, hooray. So you can Google scriptures for whatever. That's totally fine. It's even better, though, if you kind of know. You're like, I know the scriptures in the Bible because I've been studying my Bible, and maybe I'll Google because I can't remember exactly what verse it is. But praying scripture gives us focus and helps us pray according to God's will. It's like Bible muscle memory, right? Muscle memory, right? Do you like I point over here to right there. Right. So it's like you start to read something, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, I know this. I understand this. This is exactly the scripture that I needed. So we want to be able to handle our decisions, the guidance that we're doing, that we're praying for. We want to be able to handle it in a way that's Christ-honoring. And scripture helps us understand what that means. Right? If we are praying scripture, we know those are good words. We know those are good words. Psalm 37 through 38 shows us how learning from the lives of others is valuable, either as a model or a warning, right? Verse 37, look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future. So if you are praying for guidance, and the answer that you get involves being rebellious or keying somebody's car, you know, like in our example before, that's probably not from God, right? Right? That's not from God. Solomon prayed for guidance for governing God's people. Think about that situation, right? It's hard enough just to get your own family on board for something. Can you imagine being the king of the Israelites? In 1 Kings 3:9, his prayer was, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? He couldn't do it by himself. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why we're praying for guidance. That's why he prayed for guidance. In James 1:5, it says, if you need wisdom, you can ask the generous God, but we have to look at all of that scripture. So 5-8, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. All right, so that is a perfect example of where our hearts and minds should be when we are praying for guidance, that we are putting our faith in him alone and we're willing to listen to the answer even if it is inconvenient for us, even if it's not the way we wish it would be, even if it's a surprising answer, because he's got the whole picture. And then one of the last scriptures kind of that feeling is in Ecclesiastes 8:7. This one I'm just going to read, but I'm going to have them put the graphic up there. Indeed, how can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? And the thing is you can't, right? So in AI, you know, you're trying to get the kind of graphic you're trying to get. I wanted the bear to be a little bit farther out there. Because if you're at a path and you see a bear and then a path without a bear, I'm pretty sure that we would all feel fairly confident that which direction we're supposed to go. But if you don't know, if there's the two bass and that the paths and that bear is lurking in the distance there, how do you know? So when you're asking the Lord, it's really important to listen. It's really important to listen and to make the opportunity for you to listen. You know, you have to give yourself the time. I pray a lot in my car, but is that always the best undistracted way to pray? Sometimes it's okay, but not always. Sometimes I need to sit down and I'm like, you know, if I'm in the car and I'm praying and then all of a sudden I'm making a grocery list at the same time, I'm distracted, right? I'm distracted. And there are some things that I am praying for that I want sincerely to know God's truth about. I want his guidance, but I need to be able to commit at least some undistracted time so I can hear that guidance, so I can hear it. Proverbs is a great book of the Bible. If you guys have ever spent any time there, it's a little different. It's not full of just promises for us. It's not really like that. It's wisdom. It's wisdom scriptures. And so I'm just going to read a few of these wisdom scriptures for you. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. That's Proverbs 24:14. Proverbs 1:5, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Proverbs 11:3, honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. There's a lot of great wisdom in Proverbs, and a lot of it has to do with the people we surround ourselves with. So when we're asking for guidance, we should be putting our trust in the Lord's guidance, not in just people's guidance. And that's why I said, if the Lord brings somebody to you and they're helping you and there's somebody that's a godly person, the guidance they give you can be tested against the word of the Lord. It can be tested against that. And if you feel like you're getting a lot of weird guidance that is not of the Lord, then that should be something that you think about. Look at me, I lost a piece of paper here. Like, hey, where'd my other paper go? So Proverbs is good that way. It's good that way. So spend some time in that. It's a good way to pray for guidance about things using God's word, because we know that that's a safe place to be. Romans 8:38-39, I'm just going to read this. I don't think I gave this to them for on the screen. If we're following the word of God, we are following his guidance, right? So even if you weren't actively praying, but you're in your Bible and you're like, this is good, you know, note to self, you are being guided by the Lord. You're following his guidance when you're in his word and you're in prayer with him and in relationship with them. And the scripture goes on to say, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. And I wanted to say this question has come up, and I just wanted to mention this. I've had the question come up about when I'm praying for whatever it is, should I be praying to God? Should I be praying to the Holy Spirit? Should I be praying to Jesus? Triune God, he can figure it out if you're not sure. All right? You're not going to get in trouble, right? So think about, so God gave the gift of his son, Jesus. Jesus gave the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells in us. So often when I am looking for guidance, I am praying to the Holy Spirit. But he knows. You don't have to be perfect on that. If for whatever reason you're like, Jesus is my bud and I want to be, that's who I, it's okay. Same God. It's okay. So we're going to just wrap this up and we're going to do communion, all right? So when you continually study God's word, you can learn about God's character, his faithfulness, and his consistency. You can see how he has guided others, story after story after story. Just because it's Old Testament doesn't mean it doesn't apply. You see stuff in there and you're like, oh, I see what's happening here. So much stuff. You can see it. He's consistent in how he does it, but you can see how he has guided others. You can test what you hear and how others are guiding you, like what we just talked about. Test it against the word. You can discern the truth from a lie, which is discerning the Holy Spirit, who is our amazing gift from Jesus, who is our unfathomable gift from God. You can recognize that voice and then also recognize the voice of the enemy and the world. The enemy in the world who could not care less about you, right? You'd be able to recognize that difference. And you can feel peace when the Lord orders your steps. Psalm 37:23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Not just the big ones, not just the ones that are life-altering in the moment. He delights in every detail of our life, big or small. Pray for guidance for everything. Pray for everything. Pray for healing and guidance and deliverance. Never stop praying. You have a God who cares about every detail of your life, and he doesn't want to leave you hanging. He just wants you to ask so that he can answer. All right. I just love the Lord, and I love the Bible so much. It's crazy. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to take communion. I'm going to pray before we do that, but I'm just going to explain how communion works, because afterwards, after the prayer, I'm just going to walk off the stage. We're going to have two stations up here. We'll have the little fields over here. I'll be serving over here. We just take the bread. You dip it in the wine, which we have up here, or you can self-serve at the back where we've got juice. But as you do that, just have in your mind those things that you have been wanting to pray for guidance about, and don't hold back. But do give yourself the gift, though, of a few minutes to actually listen to his answer, to listen to that answer, and then to promise yourself, because the Lord has your good at heart, he wants what's good for you, that you're going to move forward in that. You're going to obey. All right? So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day, this beautiful time together. Thank you that you listen to us, that you care about us, that it matters to you, not only what we do in our lives, but it matters to you that we ask you, that we love you enough to ask you for guidance, and we love you enough to listen to what you say. So we lift it all up to you, Lord, and we just ask that we would be hearing your voice so clearly during every moment of not only the rest of today, but the rest of our lives. We just thank you. We just thank you. We honor you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.